Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said people seldom get dizzy spells from doing good turns. Once again, it's a privilege to be able to come your way and to talk with you again about the Word of God. I believe that this book needs to be studied by all of us every day of our lives. And so we're glad for the opportunity of coming your way and talking to you about the Word of God. Yesterday, we began looking at a passage in Acts 18, the passage dealing with Apollos, a good man, an eloquent man, a man who was mighty in the Scriptures, but he misthought. His teaching was wrong because he was still teaching John's baptism, and John's baptism had passed away. So, Aquila and Priscilla take this good man apart, and they teach him more perfectly the will of the Lord. Many people in our world today would have said, oh, he's all right, he's sincere, and don't worry about changing him, just let him alone. He'll be all right, and everything that he does will still please God. Well, the religious world has bought into that idea that everybody is all right, and there is nobody who does anything contrary to the will of God. Everybody will be excused, and so, as a result of that particular doctrine, the outgrowth is every time that a person dies, regardless of how he's lived, people say he's on his way to heaven. He's going to be saved. Well, it did make a difference. Aquila and Priscilla taught Apollos more perfectly the way of the Lord, and he, of course, in turn changed his teachings and then later baptized some of those people who had been mistaught. But anyhow, the fact is that making too much of being right is not really right. For instance, Matthew 7 and verse 21 indicates we must do the will of our Father in heaven. When we stand before the Lord in judgment, the Bible teaches very plainly that what is said in the Bible will be that which we'll answer for. We're going to be judged by it. John 20 and verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by the things that were written in the books. It's not hard to see that the Bible will be there when the day of judgment comes. Indeed, Jesus will be our judge. We'll stand before him. But remember this admonition that he gave in John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Do you get the impression, friends, that it does make a difference? Throughout the Bible, that's always been the case. Do you remember on one occasion in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah had become so overcome with their wickedness that God decided he was going to destroy. There were some righteous people, Lot and his family, and they were given an opportunity to flee the city before the destruction came. They were told, as you leave the city, don't look back. I don't know why. I may not be aware of all the reasons God said don't look back. But I do know this, God said it. And if God said it, that makes it important. Well, you remember as they went on their journey, Lot's wife looked back. Indeed, there may be a number of reasons. She may have looked back because she had left family in the city of Sodom. It may be that there are things that related to her past life that were still in her mind, and she was looking back toward those things. But remember, God said, don't look back. The Bible says that she turned to a pillar of salt. Now, why? Because she was disobedient. Can't you almost hear somebody saying, well, what difference does that make? Why would that be such a big thing, just taking a glance back toward the city they were leaving? Well, friends, we may not understand the reason, and we may not understand that it is God's will that way. But I'll tell you this much, if God said it, then we'd better listen to it. And that's the example that we have in that particular regard. Another example of that would be in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. You remember as God gave instruction to Cain and Abel in regard to their sacrifice. I don't know exactly what God said, but I know this. Hebrews 11 and verse 14 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, to say he did it by faith, remember Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the instruction, therefore, must have been given to Cain and Abel concerning their sacrifice. Abel did what God told him to do and offered animal sacrifice. Cain did not listen to God's will. And so Cain decided, since he was a tiller of the ground, since he worked with the soil, he would use that which is produced from the soil in his sacrifice to God. Well, you might argue he's sincere, he's wanting to do the right thing, and you go through all of the arguments along that line, you're finally going to come down to this. That's not what God said to do. God had given instruction in regard to the kind of sacrifice that he wanted. Cain did not listen. He decided that he could substitute and give to God what he wanted to give instead of what God instructed. Well, what was the end result of it? Of course, you know that Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. The sacrifice of Abel was accepted. It was more excellent. It was more pleasing in the sight of God because he did just exactly what God told him to do. Now, would it be true that there are some people today who would say, what difference does it make whether it's an animal sacrifice or a sacrifice from the fruit of the ground? What difference would that make? Wouldn't it be all right for either one to be practiced? Well, friends, that's not the way it is. God expects men to do what he tells them to do, and he holds them responsible for that. Now remember, God is the creator. God is the maker of all of us, and he has every right to tell us how to behave ourselves as we live here upon the earth. To simply argue that it doesn't make any difference and does it really matter whether we do exactly what God told us to do or not, friends, that's academic when you study your Bible. In your study of the Bible, it becomes evident, it is very clear, God wants people to obey as he tells them. And if they do not do that, they then suffer the consequence of their disobedience unto God. Friends, we can't go through the Bible and decide for ourselves, that's a little thing, and something else is a big thing. If we go through the Bible that way, I'm sure that we would not be in agreement. All of us would have a different view as to what is big and what is little. And when we begin excusing things, that puts us in the position of the lawgiver instead of the one who obeys the law. That puts us in a position that we're telling God what we're going to do instead of us allowing God to tell us what he wants us to do. Is that important? Well, indeed, the Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. To say in the name of implies it's by the authority of. So whatever we do in word or deed, it must be authorized. We must do it according to the will of God. Thus, the Bible becomes vitally important. How could I know God's will if I didn't have His book? You see, there are no little things. Obedience to God involves doing exactly what God said for us to do. Please be with us again tomorrow when we pick up our study at this point. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.